Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Simply Serie A, the Italian football podcast, part of the 90 Min Football family. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeu. We are back after a spell on the sidelines, and I'm delighted to say alongside me, first of all, Vittorio Campanile joining us from a beach somewhere in sunny Italy. How are you, sir?
I'm melting. This is how I am. I'm really melting, but thanks for the invitation. Happy to be back.
It's good to have you back, mate. I'm melting too, but I'm in the middle of London and it's a bit crap, to be honest. It's not the same as being on a nice Italian beach. Also joining me from the Players Tribune, Tommy Milanese. How are you, sir?
Mate, I'm very good, and I'm so excited to be back here because you're going to introduce him now, but there is my man, my brother, Ale, who's the biggest expert of Serie A in the whole world. And I'm so excited to have him today and have a little chat with our friend Vittorio.
So you've talked our guest up a lot, so he has to now deliver. Alessandro, welcome to Simply Serie A, my friend. Alessandro is the Italian editor at 90 Min. Welcome to the show, mate. How are you?
No pressure for me after this introduction by Tommy. And no pressure because usually in Rome we try to avoid the derby. It's fine to have it twice per year, and now it will be every week with Vittorio, but it's fine. Nice to meet you and happy to be here, guys.
Exactly that. We're going to have fireworks, hopefully, in the show on a weekly basis. This is our season preview show, so we're going to be looking ahead to the new season, which is just days away at the time of recording. We're going to be discussing some of the big clubs and sharing some of our thoughts on them going into the new campaign. I think it will be rude of me not to start with the current champions, Milan, who, of course, won the title by 2 points last season, pipping Inter, their local rivals, to the crown. Vittorio, there are a lot of people out there that don't think that Milan will repeat what they managed last season. People that I've spoken to anyway seem to feel that Inter will be stronger, that Juve, with another year under Allegri, might be a bit better than what was, quite frankly, a car crash season last time out that they managed to salvage right at the end by getting into the Champions League. What's your take, Vittorio, on Milan going into the new season? What have you made of their transfer business so far?
Well, it's exactly what everybody thought last season, right? No one believed that Milan could make it because 2 years ago, Milan was in the same position and people said, they're not going to make it. But instead, Pioli made a miracle. You can say that the team is not perfect, but how they play, that's the difference. I mean, they played last year every single match thinking that one way or another, they're going to find a way to win. And they did. And I would say, and I'll say it till the end, that they deserve to win. Inter was probably a better team, but Milan find a way to win, and they deserve to win the Scudetto, because at the end they were the best match. Inter had a huge chance and they missed it. Milan never made mistakes. Now, this summer was quite complicated because they sold the company, they started the transfer market very late, but, and I guess we're going to talk about this, pretty much all the top club had issue. I mean, Inter started the summer transfer very strong, and then they stopped, Juventus as well, and so on. So I thought Milan started later, but they had a good squad. I like the signing they made, so I'm really looking forward to see what they have, what they will do this season. I think, again, the biggest difference will be the Champions League. I think last year they dropped out quite early from the Champions League and they focus on the Scudetto race. Inter did pretty much the same thing 2 years ago with Conte. So, you know, if one of this top team will drop from the Champions League, they will be focusing only on Serie A, and that will be a huge advantage, especially this season where it will be from now till November, very compressed, right? They're going to play every 3 days. So it's going to be really tough.
Tommy, what's your take on Milan? Obviously, they've bought Charles de Ketelaere in from Club Bruges. Junior Macias is someone that they've signed from Crotone as well. Florenzi, Divock Origi. What's your take on Milan? Are they in good enough shape to go on and retain the Scudetto next season?
Mate, great pronunciation there. In our other podcast with Ale, it took me about 4 episodes to learn the Ketelaere pronunciation. but you nailed it. So well done. But yeah, no, Milan, I'm very happy about it. If I was a Milan fan, I would be over the moon. Obviously, they've been building something with Maldini and Massara being sports directors. They have been so amazing in the last few years to build something and build it with the politic of not getting players that are already superstars, players that already have huge wages. All the players for Milan are below a certain amount of wage, which obviously I don't remember, but it's not too high. And they, you know, they've been trying to develop young players, people like Tomori, which they bought, you know, a young player from the Premier League that wasn't playing. Kalulu, which they paid nothing for, and took a little bit to develop, and then now it's probably going to be a starter for next season. So their politics have been working, because we saw the way they played last season. And it looks like this season, they're going to do basically the same thing. And players like Adli, which maybe didn't make the front page quite as much as the Ketelaere, but it's been great in the friendly so far. It's been, a lot of creativity in those feet. That is something that Milan maybe struggled a bit last season. So I think that they've done a great transfer market. I think they will start next season stronger than last season. But at the same time, they do miss probably one more big signing, and that is to cover the position of Frank Kessié, which obviously is very difficult to replace. Tonali has been doing a phenomenal job. I'm a big fan of Bennacer, so I think they're not in trouble, certainly, but a player like Kessié, with his intensity for defense, attacking, obviously is very, very hard to replace. So, to me, they are in a good position to kind of repeat what they've done last season and either win or finish, definitely up there. But if they manage to get a player who will replace Kessié with similar qualities, I think that'd be amazing. And that would put them in a really, really good position.
I totally agree that the absence of Frank Kessié is gonna be huge. And as you say, they do have alternative options available to them, but are they at the same level? I think that they probably do need to go out and get someone before I would say that they're my favourites to win the Scudetto next season. Alessandro, what's your view on Milan going into the campaign?
I agree with, as been said by Victoria and Tommy, I believe that for the past 2 seasons, Maldini worked and has built sense of belonging and identity together with Pioli. I really like the signing of the Ketelaere, as Tommy said.
Bravo.
Because it reminds me of the golden era of Serie A. A youngster player, a young talent who chose Serie A over Premier League, for example. I think it's really important. I like also the signing of Giroud, of Origi, and I think that they will be there. As Vittorio said, nobody expected Milan to win last season, but they deserved it, and they will defend it until last second.
Absolutely. Just back on that signing of Charles de Ketelaere, I'm not sure how we're supposed to say it, but you mentioned there, Ale, that he chose Serie A over the Premier League. And obviously that kind of, that's great for Serie A, right? The fact that a young player, at the point where his career is about to really take off, has decided to go to Italy. But I would say that the problem is that it's still someone who's not quite peaked yet. And we probably need to get to a point in Serie A where players at 27, 28 are choosing to go to Italy over the Premier League. And also the options that were available to him in the Premier League were the likes of, from what I'm led to believe, Leeds United, which is not quite at the top end of the table. So
be careful.
But the point I'm trying to make is that it's great that we're getting young talents to the Serie A, but there's still work to be done, isn't there, before we're going to get 27, 28-year-olds at the peak of their powers opting to come to Italy instead of the Premier League, La Liga, maybe even the Bundesliga to a degree.
Yeah, but we should starting from stadiums, and Vittorio can agree, as a city like Rome, we do two of the biggest clubs in Serie A, like Roma and Lazio, are struggling to find a spot to build their own stadium. And if you don't have, if you cannot compete financially with Premier League, then it's impossible to sign top players in the best, in the peak of their career.
We should do a podcast only about stadium in Italy, because that's a huge problem. But talking about De Ketelaer, it's been 2 years at least that his name was, I mean, I remember Lazio playing against Club Brugge, and 2 years ago I said, if we sell Milinkovic, I want him now. And I was saying this 2 years ago. This player is so talented that, I don't care if he's 21, 22, 23. I mean, Messi was Messi even at 19 years old. So I love this signing. I really do. He's young, he's talented, and he comes to prove that he's ready to be a big star. So really, this is the type of signing of that Italian club should be doing. I know we're going to talk about Juventus, and I know we're going to talk about Pogba, but I mean, I would have rather signed De Ketelaer rather than Pogba. No offense, Pogba would be still a great player, etc. But that's the type of player you can keep for 5-6 years and will improve. Pogba is a great player, but do you think in 3 years' time he still will be a game changer? Not sure about that. You know, there's where we have to head.
Well, this is like what, as I was saying, this is the politics of Milan. They don't buy players that are ready and have huge salaries, huge fee agent fees. They buy players that are younger. Here's a different story.
Giroud.
That's a different story. I mean, I don't think they would. You know, even Dybala, for example, which is another player we're going to talk about.
I
was talking to Ale. Like, I thought before it was linked to Roma, I thought it would have been perfect for Milan, because Milan obviously was struggling with Brahim Diaz in that position. And behind the player like Giroud and Origi would have been amazing. But, you know, his salary is just huge. He's a player that, he's one of the players that could consider himself bigger than the club. And that's what they want to avoid. He plays like the Ketelaer, which can cover different positions as well. He plays a CAM instead of Brahim Diaz. He can play even as a striker or as a right midfielder instead of Messias. It's a perfect player for Milan.
Just to go back, I think to win, you have to have youngster and experienced players. If you are going to be like Ajax, you can win in Netherlands, but you won't be able to win Serie A or go further in Champions League. So it makes totally sense to buy Giroud and Ibrahimovic, De Ketelaer and all the others.
Yeah, but I think those are different kind of examples.
That's
a secret
formula,
obviously,
right?
Ibrahimovic came at, 38? And obviously his salary was, I mean, I don't know how much he earns, but there was no fee involved. His salary is not what it used to be. And he came more as a balance to balance these young players and give some motivation and give an example, lead by example to these youngsters. So that was a great example.
But in signing people like Messias, Florenzi, Origi, they're still showing Milan that they understand that there needs to be a balance between youth and experience. It isn't just a bunch of 21-year-olds coming in this summer. Of course, that is the main overriding kind of, you know, I guess it's the main part of their strategy. But even still, they understand and recognize that they do need that balance within that squad. And I think that's what Pioli, for me, has done really well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Pioli is totally aligned with the club, with Maldini. They both agreed to let Donnarumma go when showing the world Milan is over a player demanding for higher salary. Yeah. And this was really important. This was a really important step during this process.
So where have you guys got Milan finishing next season then? I know you've all said that you think they can retain the Scudetto, but would you go as far as predicting them to finish first?
Yeah, I take the responsibility. I say them first.
Tommy's done it, Vittorio.
And I would really like to see that as well.
Well, honestly, I think the fight is going to be between Inter and Milan. I see Juventus a little bit below them.
Yeah. Agree with Vittorio.
It depends on injury, a bit of luck, you know, those type of things. You cannot prevent them. But yeah, I think the level is that one, honestly.
Yeah, they'll fight. Yeah, because then we will talk about Juventus. I don't understand the strategy, for example, for Juventus. I predict Milan and Inter fighting for the title.
Oh, mate, you have to say one.
Yeah, you guys are sitting on the fence. You're going to get splinters. Who's going to win? Where are Milan going to finish?
Second?
Second. Vittorio?
Simone Inzaghi will win this time.
So I agree with Vittorio. Not see anywhere else Roma and Lazio fan agreeing this way, like me and Vittorio. then let's see when we talk about Roma and Lazio. But okay.
What about you?
Let's move on to Inter then, because obviously the big signing is the return of Romelu Lukaku. You know, they've almost had the kind of perfect deal. They let him go to Chelsea for a crazy amount of money and they've managed to bring him back just a year later. Tommy, I'll come to you first on Inter. Vittorio mentioned Simone Inzaghi, a very good coach. I thought that Inter would go on and win it last season, if I'm being honest, but it just didn't quite work for a number of reasons. How do you expect them to fare and what have you made of their summer so far?
Yeah, last season they were definitely favourites to win it, and it looked like it was going to happen at one point, but they just didn't have it enough at the end. Maybe players are tired. Maybe I don't know. There was something in their heads. I don't know, but they were missing that last little effort at the end to do that extra step and win it. In terms of this summer, in terms of transfers, obviously they started very well. You mentioned Lukaku, of course. He's a player that he said he loves the club and the fans. I'm not sure how the fans reacted to his coming back. I see some that are very happy, some that are a bit more on the defensive. To be fair, like I said, they haven't done bad at all. Another player that not many people remember they signed is Mkhitaryan, which I think he could do well. Obviously, he can play in the position of Çalhanoğlu, can play behind them. I think in an emergency situation, he can also play up front, potentially, in the duo. And then Skriniar, which looked like it was going to be gone for the whole summer, as of today, is still in, and it doesn't look like he's leaving anymore. So that's very positive. Bastoni is another player that looked, at one point, it looked like it was gone, but he stayed. So in that aspect, they've done very well at keeping all of their best players. The only one that I think they're going to have an issue with is Ivan Perisic, who obviously is now at Tottenham. And he's a phenomenal player. And he proved last season how he was he was the best player of Inter. Obviously, Lautaro scored more goals than anyone and he's been very important as well. But Perisic was really the one making a difference. And I think that they didn't handle that very well, actually quite poorly, because I'm pretty sure, obviously we'll never know, but I'm pretty sure he wanted to stay if there had been the right offer for the contract, he probably would have stayed. Instead, Inter took their time. They weren't sure. The offer wasn't quite what he wanted. And then another big club like Spurs came on and just got it. So now next season, they're going to have Gosens as a starting player in that position, which is obviously a great player, but is not Perisic, and is also not in his best years probably anymore. He proved that the last season with Atalanta, and last season as well with Inter, it wasn't quite as decisive as other people might have expected. And the first choice after that, I'm pretty sure, correct me if I'm wrong, is Di Marco, which is a player I like, but obviously, you know, you need a bit more, especially if he plays a 3-5-2 on the wing backs. You know, after having Hakimi on from the other side, then left, and then last season, incredible Perisic, you need a little more. So that's where they're going to struggle a little bit. But other than that, I think they've done a good job. So if they can find a good replacement there, they'd be in a great position to fight the Scudetto. If not, I think they might struggle a little bit. But overall, I put them in second. So I think they'll be a strong contender.
Ali, your thoughts on Inter?
I want to see how they react on the starting 11 replacing Perisic. It was unbelievable last season. I'm quite confident about Di Marco, to be honest. For him, it's an important chance, and he needs to step up.
Did you have any fantasy football last season?
No.
Okay.
No. He wasn't in my fantasy football, but...
Which you won, let's remind everyone.
Good quality. Let's see. Mkhitaryan, it's quality, without doubt. Lukaku, we need to see also how the things are changed between Lautaro and Lukaku. Because when Lukaku left, Lautaro was the second, no, in the ranking. Now, yeah. Lautaro is a leader of Inter. So we need to check. But if we look at the player, I believe they are a bit ahead of Milan.
Interesting. Vittorio, you said a little bit earlier on, Simone Inzaghi is going to win the Scudetto. He's a coach that you know all about, having seen him manage your team for a number of seasons. Tell us a little bit about what the differences are between the way that Inzaghi's side play football in comparison to Conte's, because on paper the formations look very similar, but there are differences. And how do you think Romelu Lukaku fits into Simone Inzaghi's side in comparison to the way he did in Antonio Conte's?
Well, I think they are slightly different. I mean, Inzaghi like a little bit more counter-attack type of football, and he loves to have a number nine that scores a lot of goals, and usually with him, they do. So he did it with Ciro Immobile. He's going to do the same with Lukaku. I'm convinced about that. The biggest issue with Inzaghi is that he starts really strong, but the second half of the season, he drops. And this happened exactly with Inter last year. I mean, Inter was top of the league around January and was dominating the league. And then
why do you think that is, Vittorio? Sorry to cut you. Why do you think it is that he struggles in the second half?
Because physical condition, he's not very good to prepare the team for the whole season. This happened 5 years with Lazio. The players change, and every time in May, the team collapse. He tend to play always the same 11. And in modern football, you cannot do it. Especially if you're playing Champions League and Serie A, you have to rotate. And Inzaghi struggles a lot to rotate. He's very good to keep the team together, but he tend to play the same players all over again. And now, if you do like this, you arrive in February, April, March, with your top players done. They're really done. They cannot make any more. So this is the biggest issue with Inzaghi. I hope last year he learned the lesson, and this year he will rotate a little bit more the players. As everybody was mentioning, obviously, he doesn't have that many options in some position. So that's going to be the biggest issue. But, you know, for example, in front, he has Lukaku, Lautaro, he has Silzeko, he has Sil Correa, thanks God. So, you know, he has a lot of options there. I'm not sure Skriniar will stay. That's a big question mark for me. I mean, if Paris Saint-Germain come knocking on the door with a good offer, I think he's gone. And so that will bring some concern there. They will have to hurry and sign some players. We hope they sign Acerbi. but you don't know. So I think Inter is a good team, and I like the way Inzaghi play football because he's completely different from when he was a player. He's focused 24 hours a day on football, on tactics and things like that. But he need to rotate a little bit more the players, like in every top club, usually manager do. So that's the biggest difference between Antonio Conte. And be careful, because Antonio Conte is another manager who doesn't love to rotate that much, but he does it much more than Simone Inzaghi. So this is huge for me.
Yeah, and I think we've seen that in the Premier League, right, Tommy, with the way that Antonio Conte has gone out and signed players that he can rotate because they fit in his system. He's a very system-first manager, isn't he?
Yeah, and Spurs did a great transfer market this summer, arguably one of the best in Europe. But we saw a couple of days ago in the first game how the starting 11 was exactly the same as last season. So that shows you that with him, it takes a little bit of time for transfers, new players to adapt to his style of play. And once they're in, yeah, like Vitor says, it's kind of hard to get them out. This season is going to have to do it with the Champions League as well. And it might be a bit painful to hear that words, but Champions League football and all the rest. So he was going to have to do it. But, you know, they bought players like Richarlison, which are very important, and he will want to play and many more. So
I'll be editing that bit out, by the way. Just so
you know. Come on. Is this the last episode with Tommy? Can I say goodbye to him?
Yeah, say goodbye. He's out, gone, finished.
Just to give a bit of context, as you could probably tell, my team in Premier League is Tottenham. I follow them quite closely.
Seriously?
Just to give a bit of context.
Well, nobody else speaks well of Tottenham, Vittorio. It's only Tottenham fans. So he gave it away. He gave it away.
It's funny because all Juventus fans are so angry because Kulusevski with Tottenham is a completely different player.
Bentancur as well.
Yeah. I mean, this last winter, everybody was saying, Paratici has been paid by Juventus because exactly. He signed Kulusevski and Bentancur, all that money wasted. And now everybody...
Yeah, but Kulusevski, first, he wasn't playing. Number two, he was playing way opposition. Of course, he wasn't performing. Same for Bentancur. He was playing as DM, sitting in front of the defense. Like, that's not his position. You give him so much responsibility. That's not the kind of player he is. Conte was very good to identify what kind of players they are and fit them perfectly into this system. And so, yeah, I mean, they exceeded everyone's expectations. But at the same time, they were way out of position in Juventus.
Mm. But we'll come on to Juventus in a moment. But I just want to quickly get from you guys then where you've got into finishing. We know that Tommy's got Milan to win the league. Ale and Vittorio both sat on the fence and said that the title race will be between Milan and Inter, but neither of them
first.
Wanted.
Did
you?
First.
You both said first. Milan first for both of you. So have you both got Inter second?
No. Inter first.
Inter first for them too.
Sorry. Okay. So you guys have got Inter first, Milan second. I thought you were joking when you said Simone Inzaghi, but you were serious.
Because I'm not convinced Pioli will make it even this season. I was surprised that Pioli managed to keep the team focused till the end of the season. So, you know, the year after you win, there's a little bit of relaxing. Even though you have experienced player, I think some of them will a little bit drop form, more than form, focus on the match. Maybe they will be more focusing on the Champions League. Yeah. They will say, we won the Scudetto this time, now let's focus on the Champions League. And unconsciously, you will start dropping points. Maybe, you know, against Monza or against another weaker team, instead of winning like last year, you're going to drop points and get a draw. And suddenly you will find that Inter is 3 points ahead of you and it's going to be tough to recover.
Exactly. I do think the fact that Milan dropped out of the Champions League early last season was massive in them winning this Scudetto, like huge, like more than people.
Yeah.
More than Milan fans would admit.
Also ending fourth in the group stage and not qualifying for the Europa League was huge because then they wouldn't have had the roster for two competitions.
I mean, I don't know if the other guys agree with me, but the biggest issue with Italian team compared, for example, with Premier League is that now if you cannot compete for two competitions, if you want to win the Scudetto, you cannot make it to the Champions League. If you want to focus on the Champions League, you will drop points in the Scudetto race. I think this is the problem with the Italian team. We don't have the roster so big like Premier League. Yes, so it's not a coincidence that Inter went out immediately with the Champions League and won the Scudetto. Milan did the same and won the Scudetto, I think.
Yeah, but at the same time, didn't Inter win the Scudetto that year? They also made it to the Europa League final. Is that right? Did they win that year? Or was it?
Juventus was the...
There you are. Then
yeah.
You're right then.
Was the Sarri's one.
Yeah, yeah.
So we talk about this a lot in the Premier League, the whole, you know, the fact that when you're in the Europa League, specifically, you play Thursday, Sunday. Yeah. And you haven't got an awful lot of time in between those two games. Yeah, I do know it very well, but you would know it even better because Spurs have still been in the Europa more times than Arsenal. But anyway, he's got a bite out of me already. It's only taken him 29 minutes. But the point I'm trying to make is, do you think that that's as big a deal in Italy? Because a lot of the games are on Sundays in Italy anyway, more so than the Premier League. So is that as big of a factor for a Serie A side as it is for a Premier League side?
If you have, if you can rely on 14, 15 players, yes, it's a big issue.
Hmm.
And Sarri said it last year when he was Lazio manager. He said it's very complicated if you play on Thursday and on Sunday, especially because... For example, Lazio last year wasn't very lucky. They played every time they played the Europa League on Sunday and never on Monday. So sometimes, especially in Europa League, you can play against, I don't know, Norwegian team, Russian team and things like that. So even the flight is very long. You maybe play at 9 o'clock on Thursday. You get back in Rome Friday afternoon. So you lost even a day of recovery. And Saturday, you're already training for the match that you have on Sunday. So, you know, you don't have time to rest and to regroup. So it's tough.
Too much of a quick turnaround. Let's move on to Juve then. I said at the top of the show that they just about got into the Champions League. And I say that because they actually failed to win in three of their last five games. And it looked as though somebody, well, Lazio, but they weren't good enough to do it, might have been able to kind of pit them to it. Roma weren't a million miles behind either. Allegri didn't really work last season, Tommy. It just didn't work. And, you know, you look at some of the business that they're doing, you know, with there's talk of more players leaving this summer as well. I just don't really know what to make of Juve at the moment. How are you feeling about them going into the new season?
I think it's a tough one. I think Juventus is the most difficult one of the top teams to predict, to read, yeah. Because their summer has been interesting, a bit weird, I would say. So obviously we talked about Pogba, which is not old, right? He's not old, and he's a player that can still make a difference, especially in the Serie A, when, you know, his physicality, for example, it would be a huge factor. So I think he's still a player that can make the difference in a team like Juventus, because obviously they also struggled in midfield a bit in the last 3 years. But again, he's injured now. He might be off for 2 or 3 months. Then another player like Di Maria. I'm a huge fan of Di Maria. Really, really like him. But at the same time, he is coming at a stage in his career that he's going to be motivated enough to play with his heart, because that's what Juventus needs. After having a disappointing season, they need players to really step up and do that extra bit to get back to where they belong. Will Di Maria put his heart in this team? I don't know, but he's still a great player. So I would say that he's definitely one of the positives for the summer. Another weird one would be Bremer, obviously, because the lead went away and they got Bremer. Bremer was the best defender in Serie A last season. So in theory, on paper, it should be it's a good signing to replace him. But at the same time, will he adapt to this formation, with the four at the back? He played yesterday against Atletico Madrid in a friendly, and friendlies, they don't mean anything. We saw that so many times, but he was dreadful. But again, it was one of the first games. No drama. It will definitely take him some time to adapt. But it would be key. It would be absolutely key, Bremer, because obviously in a summer where Chiellini and De Ligt are leaving you, and you bring on a player like Bremer, he has a lot of responsibilities on his shoulders. And if he doesn't step up, if he's not a good signing, if it takes too much time to adapt, then it's all on Bonucci's shoulders, which, he's also not in the best stage of his career. So I feel like Juventus next season will struggle defensively again, like they did last season. And the rest of the team, to be fair, I can't really see what their first team will be now. The first 11, the first few games, Pogba is injured, so maybe some young players like Fagioli will start. I don't know. I feel like they still don't have an identity. And they're not quite a team. And I don't think Allegri, to be fair, figured it out so much after last season. So they're not favourites for me, and they're going to struggle, I think.
Vittorio, you mentioned Pogba earlier. Tommy mentioned him just then. I actually, when I heard about him rejoining Juventus, I thought this is a really good signing for Juventus. Free transfer, a player that's proven himself in this league before. I think in the Premier League, got a really hard time from pundits and critics, and was someone who, you know, was always looked at as the root cause of Manchester United's problems, when maybe he was a part of it, but he certainly wasn't the only problem there. You can see that now. If you saw their game at the weekend just gone, they're still a mess. Yeah, but obviously he's suffered this injury. It's a real blow for Allegri going into the season, isn't it? Because he would have been delighted with the acquisition of Paul Pogba this time around.
Not only, Allegri said he's upset because Pogba decided to not have surgery. He's going to wait 5 weeks, if I'm not wrong. So, because obviously he doesn't want to miss the World Cup, right? Makes sense for a player. I mean, who wants to miss the World Cup? With the surgery, it's over. It's done. But this can create issue with Juventus, because maybe he's going to wait 5 weeks and then maybe he will need the surgery. So Juventus will miss him for 5 months. Who knows? But obviously, getting Pogba for free is a huge signing. I mean, it's amazing. And as you were mentioning, having him back in a league where he made the difference is huge. So that's a great signing. One thing that we have to mention about Juventus, I don't think they're done yet. I think they're going to sign other players. Let's remember, the season is starting this weekend, but the summer transfer is ending the 1st of September. So there is 2 weeks to sign other players, and I believe Juventus will make it. But Tommy mentioned it a little bit. I think the biggest issue of Juventus is the manager. Last year, everybody was convinced Allegri's back, they're going to win Scudetto all over again, etc. I think Allegri is updated. We need Allegri 2.0 now, because his football is gone. He's so old. I mean, football evolved and he didn't follow it. So I think that's the biggest issue Juventus have. They lost Szczęsny again, 20 days out, I think. He got injured. So, you know, I mean, the season still have to start, and Juventus is already with a lot of players out of injury. So it's going to be difficult for them.
For sure. Ali, what's your take? I saw you nodding your head there. Do you agree with the Allegri talk? Because it certainly didn't work last season, did it? It was a bit of a car crash.
Juventus fans and clubs were blaming Sarri after he won the Scudetto. And he didn't. They didn't give him the time to prove and to change the things, because if you sign a manager like Sarri, you need to give him time. Otherwise, it's pointless. Juventus Pirlo was better, in my opinion, than the Allegri one, at least in terms of game. We were talking after Allegri rejoined Juventus, okay, they will fight for the title, but they really struggled. In my opinion, I agree with Vittorio. Roma and Lazio didn't have the power on the roster to fight with Juventus, especially because they signed Vlahovic in January, for example, and they both played on Thursday in Europe. But Allegri, when left Juventus, they remember Allegri like the one who brought them in Champions League final twice, and then they were eliminated by Villarreal, and it was a shame, to be honest, because if you are Juventus, you cannot go out against Villarreal, you cannot go out against Porto. So at the beginning of this transfer window, I was impressed, because if you sign Pogba and Di Maria for free, you're showing power. Then basically you steal Bremer to Inter, a direct opponent. Now, I don't know, because the especially the level of the midfielder, it's not too competitive if we compare it with Milan and Inter. But if Lazio keeps Milinkovic-Savic as expected, Lazio has the best midfielder in Serie A. If Lazio keeps Luis Alberto, why? I mean, I know Lazio fans are against Luis Alberto right now, but if we talk about quality, as today, I wouldn't exchange my midfielder, the Roma's one, with Juventus one.
Yeah, and of course, you know, you look at that side and you just don't know what it's going to look like, as Tommy alluded to. You know, we're hearing that Adrian Rabiot could be on his way to Manchester United as well. That's another player that's going to move on. Artur is somebody that's been linked with a move away all summer. Whether that will materialize, we don't quite know just yet. Just wanted to get your thoughts quickly, though, guys, on Federico Chiesa. When is he expected back, and could he make a difference? Because he's an explosive footballer. He really is something special. And I think they really missed him after he picked up that horrendous injury.
Yeah, he could be the best new signing, if you want to call him that way, for Juventus. Yeah. When is expected back? Correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's going to be another month and a bit, right? In 5 weeks, maybe. So potentially the end of September should be back and starting. Obviously, we don't know, but I think that's what the newspapers are saying.
Yeah.
If he can do the whole season fit, he will be huge. I'm a huge fan of Chiesa. To me, is the best Italian player at the moment.
Yeah.
When fit, obviously. And he will walk into basically any team in the world, in my opinion. And you know what? Having Vlahovic from the beginning of the season, because you know, the guys mentioned he joined in January and he did pretty well to adapt to a different, very different style of play. But having him from the beginning of the season, it will be a huge factor. If you can put him and Chiesa together, and Di Maria, of course, which as I mentioned, he might not be in his best stage of his career, but still a phenomenal player. I mean, the attack can finally be a decisive thing for Juventus and a big, you know, a big factor. But yeah, all the other bits like midfield and defense that we mentioned, they also need to be sorted, because obviously you can't just rely on attack, especially the way Allegri plays.
Go on, Ali. Was you going to say something?
Yeah, I mean, we need also to see how he will recover, because when you suffer an injury like the one he suffered, also the mental aspect is involved, you know. You can see with Zaniolo at the beginning, he was a bit scared to stay on the pitch. If Chiesa back as his level, like can still improve him, best player in Italy, to be honest.
Yeah, that's a great point. You don't know what fitness level he's going to be at when he returns, and you don't know how long it's going to take him to get back into full flow. It's a very difficult injury, those cruciate ligament injuries, to recover from. Where are we putting Juve then? I'll come to you first, Tommy.
So to me, fourth. Just about Champions League.
Ali?
Third.
Vittorio?
I think third could be an option, because I believe they're going to do something from here on till the end of the transfer market. They have to.
Okay, so we've got two thirds and a fourth. Let's move on then to Roma. And what I'm going to do to have a little bit of fun here is I'm going to let Vittorio go first on Roma, and then Ale can respond, and we'll do it vice versa the other way around. So Vittorio, fire away on Jose Mourinho's Roma.
Well, Roma is the club that at the moment did the best transfer market. They sign three good players, and they are the team that improved more in the Serie A, unfortunately. Of course, you can say that there are question marks, but, I mean, Dybala was considered one of the best players of Juventus. Inter was close to sign him, and he finished to Roma. So I think he has a chip on the shoulder. He wants to prove everybody wrong. Fans already adore him. So, you know, that makes a huge signing and a huge improvement to the club, especially because I don't see Zaniolo leaving now. So, you know, Abraham, Zaniolo, Dybala, it's a very interesting attacking trio for a Serie A club. So that's a good sign. I'm not a big fan of Matic, but knowing Mourinho, he will make it work. So again, that's a good move. Wijnaldum, I mean, he was one of the key players of Liverpool's 2 years ago with Klopp. He didn't play that much last year, but you know, you cannot say that that's a bad signing. I mean, you should be crazy to say that. You got two players, these three players for free, free transfer. So that's huge. They're going to sign Belotti probably. I don't know why Belotti's going there, because I don't think he's going to play a lot. But that's a huge signing for Roma. If anything happens to Abraham, that's a huge signing. Probably they need a central defender, but it looks like they're going to sign a central defender from Manchester United. So I'm concerned because it's Roma, and they improve a lot. I think they're going to finish fourth. I think they're slightly behind Inter and Milan, and I hope Juventus is going to sign some player to improve the roster. But otherwise, I think Roma is the clear favorite for the last spot for the Champions League this season.
Go on, Ali. Have a go back.
How can I start? I'm quite lucky. I have a wood table, so I'm touching I'm touching wood. I mean, as a fan, it's impressive, you know? It's probably the best transfer window in years for Roma. Last season, we struggled with players because a lot of players weren't enough for Mourinho, like, for example, Villar. Now, I loved Villar, for example. Borja Mayoral. Now, he's trying to rely on more players. He signed Celik to replace Kasdorp. Matic is a it's player, basically. Then Wijnaldum and Dybala, what to say? If you're Roma and sign Wijnaldum and Dybala, you cannot be happy. And then Belotti is the one who I would love the most. I was talking with Tommy last week, and I was telling, Belotti is the one who proves you are going in the right direction. Because if you convince Belotti to sign for you, even though he knows he won't play a lot of games, then you can fight, and I hope we can fight to go back in Champions League. But I'm in doubt if Vittorio is a Lazio fan now, because his analysis is perfect.
Can I just throw something in there, and you can take this on, Tommy? I don't think Roma's transfer window is as good as people are making it out to be. I look at those players. I look at Jorginho Wijnaldum. This is not the Jorginho Wijnaldum of Liverpool. A lot of time has passed, and he's been a bit part at Paris Saint-Germain. And I don't think that there's a guarantee that he comes in and is as impactful. I don't think Nemanja Matic is worth bringing in. I think that is Mourinho signing his friends. And, you know, yes, he's going to come in and give you a bit of experience and a bit of stability, maybe from time to time. But I don't think that's how you build moving forward. Paulo Dybala is the one signing for me that I look at and say, yes, you know, I would have done this. But again, there are concerns over his fitness. And are Roma investing a lot of money in him in terms of wages and salary? And does that handicap them in other areas? And as for Zeki Celik, I'm not sure he's a great defender. I know that my club, Arsenal, were heavily linked with him a couple of years ago, and I looked into him a lot back then, and I didn't think he was quite the right guy. So, I mean, Tommy, tell me if I'm being harsh. Ale, tell me if I'm being harsh. Vittorio, tell me if I'm being harsh. But I don't look at this window and think it's as great as people make it out to be. My
the ambulance is coming to get you.
Can I start? You look like more Lazio fan than Vittorio. But you're looking at Serie A with Premier League guys. Serie A's level is not the Premier League ones. For this reason, maybe Jorginho Wijnaldum cannot be good for Premier League, but I believe for Serie A, still a really, really good player.
But I'm not looking at it through Premier League eyes. What I'm looking at is what I think a lot of the Serie A clubs miss, as somebody who looks at it from the outside, is doing what Milan are doing. Okay, Milan are a side who are building. They are building something. In 5-6 years' time, you would hope that Milan would be in a really good position whereby the young players that they're building around and developing, they will be able to sell on for big amounts of money and bridge the gap financially between themselves and some of the other big clubs in Europe.
But Harry, you are talking about Jose Mourinho. You know, he's a win-today mentality. You know that Mourinho won't stay long in a club. This is the final year of Mourinho at Roma. This is the peak for Mourinho. Usually, year two of Mourinho is the top, right? He knows he wants the player to win today. He doesn't care in 4 years' time. He's not going to be at the club, right? So he's trying to win now. And this is what Mourinho did with Inter, with every club, right? He doesn't sign youngster. He signed mature player ready to win today. This is Jose Mourinho. And we know year two, and this is my concern, is the best year of Mourinho. So he has been lucky to find a club that will spend heavy money to get these players. He wants to win today, not in 2 years' time. So yes, I agree with you saying that they're not building. But if they win the Scudetto this year, who cares about building, right? Roma fans will celebrate for the next 10 years. I mean, they won the Conference League. And now, you know, there's in Italy, there was the thing about, I don't know if you see it, Ancelotti training Real Madrid the day of the Champions League final, saying, guys, it's not the Conference League, but it's still a final, right? Let's try to win it. I mean, if Roma wins the Scudetto, they will be celebrating for 10 years. Who cares that in 2 years' time they will be...
And Vittorio's going to relocate to the Caribbean.
I mean, of course. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but if you have Allegri, you know what type of players and what type of football you're getting. If you have Mourinho, you know what type of football he wants and what he wants. I mean, it makes sense to me, and I think they have a good team. Then, obviously, if you're right, you have a free meal in Rome whenever you want. But unfortunately, I don't think it's going to go that way.
I don't think they're going to win the Scudetto. I don't think they have a chance to win the Scudetto. And I'm so sure of that that I will donate £100 to a charity of you guys' choice if they win the Scudetto, because it's not going to happen. And you're right, Vittorio, about Mourinho being short term. This, for me, though, is why the Serie A has fallen behind in comparison to some of the other leagues, because of that very short term outlook all of the time. You know, yes, it's about winning now. It's about winning now. That's why what Milan are doing deserves so much praise and so much credit, because they are building for the future. And somebody like De Ketelaere, for example, they might sell him for 50, 60 million pounds in 3 or 4 years' time. And all of a sudden, that disparity between them and some of the other big clubs in Europe closes and they get closer. But to always sign, it's like there's a group of clubs that just go around signing pensioners. Nemanja Matic.
I agree with you. But then Inter is the same thing. They sign Lukaku. He's not a youngster. And the problem is what we said before. Stadium. In Italy, Juventus is the only big club that has their own stadium. And in fact, Juventus was the only club to reach the Champions League twice. Then they made mistake. They signed Cristiano Ronaldo. They wasted a lot of money. But that's the thing. I mean, if Roma win the Scudetto this year, they will get some money and they will keep going a little bit. But even if Milan doesn't build a stadium, like they won't be able to do. I mean, okay, they sell De Ketelaere, 50 million euros. Liverpool has 300 million euros to spend. I mean, you have to sell 8 De Ketelaere to be able to do the same thing as them. The stadium and the international marketing. This is what's missing to Italian club. So, you know, if you want to have the chance to win today, probably you have to do like Roma and Inter are doing.
Go on, Tommy. I know you wanted to ask. I'm sorry I cut across you. I just really don't like the Mourinho approach. I don't think it works anymore anywhere. And I think we've seen that over the last few years. Go on, Tommy.
Yeah, I'm going to play devil's advocate. And I mean, I can see your point, Harry. And I agree that it's a bit risky for Roma, because if they don't win this year, and by win, I mean they don't reach top four, they don't win Europa League, it's risky because they have players like Matic and Ronaldo in your books. And also Dybala. I mean, we all agree there's a phenomenal signing, but the terms of his contract are particular. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there is a release clause of 20 million, which is very low, which, by the way, he'll keep 50% of that. So 10 million will go directly to him and the rest of the club, which is basically a way of saying, yes, I'm committing to Roma, but at the same time, I have an escape route very easily. So if Roma have a very bad season, which I don't think they will, but if they do, then Dybala is going to go probably. Players like Wijnaldum and Matic, they're going to stay in their books with a high salary for a few years. And Mourinho might leave as well. So you have to restart again, having spent so much money this summer and the last summer. And, you know, the momentum will be completely gone. So it's risky. But at the same time, if you look at the other side, if the risk pays off, it's a very good, you know, it's a very good time to be a Roma fan. There are things like the contract with Adidas, which is rumored to start from next season, which will bring many more, you know, much more money. The stadium that Vittorio mentioned plenty of times. I don't really know what the situation is, but it looks like, correct me if I'm wrong again, but it looks like next year is probably the closest they've ever been to actually doing it. I don't know if they will do it or not.
I think the first year of Garcia, probably.
Okay.
In the last time.
It looks like they're fairly close, though. Yeah. It looks like there's a movement. So if they do win this season, about win again, I don't mean win the Scudetto, but qualify top four, maybe do well in Europa League, then they can actually start a momentum that with all these other, Dybala will probably renew his contract to better terms. You know, they can potentially sign other players, a bit younger maybe, and kind of, you know, bring the club forward. So I think Roma is taking a big risk that if this season is going to be very important for the next 3-4.
Yeah. Ali, I'll let you have the final word on Roma as you are our resident Roma man. Am I being harsh? Am I being unfair? Do you agree with the guys? What's your thoughts?
I agree with the guys. I know. I understand your feeling about Jose Mourinho, because when he arrived, I was in doubt, to be honest. If last year you would have asked me Sarri or Mourinho, I would have said probably Sarri, because it fits better than Mourinho in Roma. You know, Roma always played a good game. Now Vittorio disagree, because he obviously wants it. Sarri for him, I understand. But with Sarri, you can, as you say, you can build. Then he came in the first year. Maybe from an external point of view, it's not a great success. But we were playing the Conference League and we won it. And for us, for me, it's huge, because we never won. Because we lost in our history knockout stages with weakest team than us. So it's important to start. Then obviously you hope, you want to see how they will perform this year in the Europa League, and it's a risk. But when you to be honest, to make you understand, be a Roma manager it's like be a Real Madrid manager without Real Madrid trophy. That's the pressure, you know. I don't know how, because Vittorio can tell, there are 10 radios every day talking about Roma every day, and it's a complicated matter. You need to coach the press, you need to coach the fans, you need to coach the city, and probably Mourinho is the best man to do it.
Interesting.
I see Mourinho is the perfect manager for Roma, because when he lose, at least last year, it was always the ref problem, and Roma fans adore that. So Roma didn't lose. It was always the ref. Every match Roma lost, it was the ref. Mourinho is perfect for that. It's never his fault. But he win the conference. I mean, it was 13 years, 14 years, Roma didn't win nothing. So what can you say about Mourinho? I mean, he's perfect for Roma, and I totally agree with that. I mean, he's the perfect manager. Again, I don't know how long will it last, because he usually lasts 3 years in a club. But I mean, what he did much better than Spalletti, Garcia, and so on. So, you know, I think it makes perfect sense for Roma to sign him, and the fans adore him. You know, if you say, I mean, Roma lost against Milan last year, and Mourinho said, the ref was terrible. We didn't have a penalty. The Milan goal wasn't a goal. It should have been disallowed. It wasn't true. But if you talk with every Roma fans, he agree with Mourinho. So, you know, he's very good in that. Even when he was at Inter, it was the same thing. He would never lose. It was always the ref prop issue. Always the ref making mistakes. So
he fits in well there then.
I think so.
Where are we going?
You can say pretty much every Italian club, to be honest, but Roma probably is the best after Napoli. Yeah.
Where are we going in terms of Roma's finish next season? Ale, let's come to you for your prediction.
I'm touching wood and say fourth.
Fourth. Tommy?
To me, I said this is going to be a risk. It could either go very well or very bad. And to me, it will pay off eventually. So I put them at third. One quick shout just to finish on Roma. Another decisive factor for me will be Spinazzola playing, well, hopefully for him, the whole season. Because Zaleski has been amazing, but Spinazzola at the Euros was the best fullback in the Euros in the competition. I'm a huge fan of him. So I feel like he's great for Mourinho to be another decisive factor if he can stay fit.
Vittorio.
I say fourth. I think it would be Inter, Milan, Juventus, Roma.
Okay. Let's move on to your side then, Lazio. And we're going to give Ale the first say on Lazio. Take your shot.
I'm always scared when Lazio starts the season with no pressure. Second Sarri season. So he had time last year to transmit his ideas. They keep Milinkovic-Savic, best midfielder in Serie A. They have Ciro Immobile, 20 goals guaranteed. Zaccagni is a good player. I have doubts. I don't know the young central defender, but Romagnoli, it's really important. I mean, they ignore the fact he started the career with Roma. Now he's a legend because he decided to accept Lazio offer despite was lower than the Fulham's one. Correct me if I'm wrong, Vittorio. And he decided to do it to wear the Lazio jersey. So it's important for them. He took the jersey 13, so like the legend Alessandro Nesta. Now I want to see how they end with Luis Alberto, because from what I understood, there is not good relationship within Sarri and between Sarri and Luis Alberto. So I want to check. But if they can convince Luis Alberto to stay and give his 100% to the cause, then what do you want to say? They signed Marcos Antonio, interesting from the Shakhtar, so it's quality in the middle, and Sarri always needs the quality. I'm always scared because we are putting the attention and the pressure all in one side in Rome this year, but we need to see. We need to see.
Vittorio, I'm starting to wonder.
For me at the moment, Lazio is ahead of Napoli, because I don't understand what Napoli are doing, to be honest. And Lazio kept his quality, adding crucial player to the system. I want to see. I'm curious, to be honest.
What's going on with you two? You're both being so nice about each other's teams.
The wrong season, unfortunately. I mean, last year it would have been much better to talk about Roma. Even 2 years ago would be great. This season, I'm very scared.
I'm a big fan of Milinkovic, if somebody supporting Roma tell you Milinkovic is not a good player, he's not a great player, don't talk with him. And despite what has been said regarding Immobile in Serie A, is a guarantee.
Yeah.
20 goals per season. What do you need to say? I'll try to sign him my fantasy football.
Vittorio, your thoughts on Lazio's campaign?
This was a very difficult summer transfer for Lazio. They lost Leiva. They lost two goalkeepers. They lost Acerbi. He's in the squad, but he's not playing. So I was really concerned going forward. Instead, I think this has been the best summer transfer of the Lotito era, so in the last 19 years or so. I love the fact that Lazio gone the opposite road to a lot of other teams. We signed a lot of youngsters. Marcos Antonio is 22. Hila is 20. Maximiliano, our goalkeeper, is 23. Cancellieri is 20. We move from the oldest team in Serie A to one of the youngest. So that's something I really love about the summer transfer. We both youngster and talented. So this is looking forward is really interesting, and I love a lot of this. But we don't have a Vision Immobile. Vision Immobile is the best striker in Italy, but he won't be able to play all the single matches. And if he doesn't play, then Cancellieri will play. He's not a number nine, so that's a concern. In defense, we have Hila, who is very young, but I don't know if he's ready to play. Patrick, it's hit and miss. Casale has to adapt to Sarri. So I think we did a lot of good things, but we are not ready to win this year. I think 2-3 years will be a very interesting team if we keep everything. But, I mean, this was a very dangerous summer, so I'm happy what Lazio did. But, you know, I didn't expect Roma doing all those signing. So I was hoping Roma would have been the same of last year, pretty much. Otherwise, I would have said Lazio would be fighting for the fourth spot. Now I think Lazio could finish fifth, even though I expect Napoli to do something. I cannot believe Napoli selling Koulibaly, Mertens, Insigne, and not signing anybody. I cannot believe that. So at the moment, Lazio is the fifth in the table, but I think Napoli will sign players and be above. But I'm happy about the signing.
Tommy,
the idea, the project. This is the
Tommy, what's your take on the project at Lazio? Because it's very different to what's going on at Roma, right? It's two different approaches. So which one do you think is going to be the most beneficial?
In the long term, probably Lazio. If the short term, I would say Roma. I mean, I'm saying maybe the obvious here. I mean, I'm not going to spend too much on this, or we're going to be here all day, but I think Vittorio has got his spot on, and I mean, of course, he's the expert, but I agree. I do see Napoli slightly above, thinking they would probably sign someone like, I don't know, Barak or Raspadori, or maybe Deulofeu, although that doesn't look likely anymore, but signing a couple of players, they're only a couple of players away from being a step ahead to Lazio, in my opinion. So, yeah, if you ask me today, probably fifth, but considering what I think Napoli will do, then probably, in that case, I'll put them sixth as well. So,
okay, yeah. Let's stick with Napoli then. Tommy, just quickly, what do you think they're going to do? What type of thing do you think they're going to do? You don't have to give specific names, but in terms of positions, what needs addressing? What do they need to fix going into the new season?
Well, Napoli is an interesting position because they had this period, this period when they achieved quite a lot for the potential. They won a couple of trophies, if I'm not wrong. They never win the Scudetto, of course, which was their goal. But it looks like that came to an end. So, and this summer, it's kind of happening all at the same time. So a lot of those players from that generation left. So Insigne, Mertens, Koulibaly, now it looks like Fabian Ruiz as well. So they are basically freshening up the squad and starting a new period. And when you do that, you know, it's of course, it's normal. They might struggle at the beginning. But if you think about it, they got young players from lower leagues. But that's the same they did. Mertens came from the Dutch league, if I'm not wrong. And Koulibaly came from the Belgian league. So they are phenomenal players that achieved so much that they've been among the best in their position the last few years. But there were also players that came a bit young and then from lower leagues. So they're doing the same now. Kim Min-jae came in defense for Koulibaly, coming from the Turkish league. Kravastelia came from the Russian league. And it looks like it's a very, very interesting player that will fill up Insigne's shoes very well, but what he showed in preseason. So you know what? I feel like they're doing well. Again, it's normal they're going to struggle at the beginning because these are young players. They come from different league. They will need time to adapt. But that's what you've got to do when you hit a spot where you kind of have to make a change and change some players from the old generation to a new one. If Fabian Ruiz is going, which it looks likely, they definitely need someone to replace him. I'm a huge fan of Anthony Barak, although he's not exactly the same player, but I feel like he could do very well. Raspadori could be very important to replace Mertens. So again, they will struggle a little bit, but I feel like in the long term, they'll be a good team.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because when you go to these through these transitional periods, you kind of want to see it coming and you kind of want to get ahead of it and sort of manage it as best as you can. And it doesn't really feel like Napoli have done that. It feels as though it's going to be a really sort of rough break from the old to the new. And so they're a really interesting prospect this season because we don't know what they're going to be like. Ale, what's your take on Napoli? And do you agree that they're slightly ahead of Lazio, even if they, or if they do the business that we maybe expect them to do?
I mean, if in 10 days they sign Barak and Raspadori, they're adding quality to their roster. And we need to see how they adapt to Spalletti's philosophy. Obviously, with a rude switch, no? Because Napoli were competing for the title 2 seasons ago. They couldn't reach the top. They were close. And if we want to talk about excuses, they never won the Scudetto and they lost a Scudetto in a hotel, as the manager said. And it was Sarri, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yep.
And so it's weird. I like Spalletti. He probably prefers to work with the youngster than top players. So we need to see if he can work with Raspadori. I believe they at the end of the transfer window they will have Raspadori and they will play with Raspadori behind Osimhen. So they're adding some goals and some quality. But they've lost Insigne, was a leader. They've lost Mertens, is a legend in Napoli for the city, for the fans, for everybody. They lost Koulibaly. So at the moment, I would say Lazio replaced it better. And I would say they've added quality to the original squad from last season. Napoli lost a big player. So I put Lazio ahead.
Interesting. Vittorio on Napoli?
One thing we didn't mention is they need to sign a goalkeeper because Meret is terrible. They are close to sign Kepa or Navas, but you know that's another important thing. They had Ospina last year who played really well. Meret has proven to not be able to play at that level, so that's a problem. One thing Tommy said, they won a lot. They didn't win nothing in Europe, and that's embarrassing. A club like Napoli, with the players Napoli
I didn't say a lot. They won a bit.
Well, I think, and this is an issue, I think Italian clubs should play the Europa League with the idea of winning it. And Napoli had the chance and never did it. They simply didn't want to win it. They had the chance. So this is something very wrong that Napoli did. And they came to this summer completely unprepared. I think you should have maybe sell Insigne last year, or last year Koulibaly, this year Insigne, because changing so many players altogether is going to be a nightmare. They signed Kim, that was linked with Lazio last year. So, you know, a defender coming from Turkey, I'm not sure it's going to be Koulibaly level. Then maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think they're doing their things the right way. But if they sign Raspadori, if they sign someone else, Barak, I love Barak. I was hoping he would go to Lazio. So there's still plenty of time, unfortunately, for them to recover. And they should have a lot of money to do it. So, but it's not going to be easy. And this season is going to be very different. Let's not forget that from now till November, they're going to play every 3 days. And then there's going to be the break. So those 3 months this year are going to be key for the season. It's not going to be like last year where everything is going to be decided after February. This year, probably, in November, you already know pretty much what's going to happen. So Spalletti is in a tough situation. And if I was him, I wouldn't be very happy at all.
Interesting stuff. Okay, I think that brings us to the end of today's edition of Simply Serie A. We've had a look at the big six sides.
We didn't talk about Fiorentina.
We didn't, but we have run out of time. So we will, I promise, talk about Fiorentina at length on the next episode. We'll be back next Monday to discuss the first round of fixtures. I don't know about you guys. I like all the preview talk. I like all the transfer talk, but there's nothing like looking back on actual football. So thank God we're going to have that to speak about next week. Don't forget to leave a like. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast as well. Leave us a review if you haven't done so already. It really, really does help. And we're going to be back bringing you weekly content here on Simply Serie A. Follow the guys too. The links to their social media are in the description. Until next week, goodbye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.